Something that was just confusing, preliminary remarks from the council before we began by choosing or eliminating the people again. I want to say again, in summary, that is, that I appreciate so very much the organization being with you. We've been in the area, but not here, and it's been a long time. And we are just thankful to have the opportunity to be here and stop for effort. Whenever we do something like this, there usually are at least two major purposes behind all of it. One is, of course, we want to try to encourage people who are not Christians to become so. And design lessons that would hopefully enhance the person's faith in God and God's Word, the reasonableness of all of that. And of course, that helps those others who are Christians as well. But then the second is to strengthen those others who are Christians to help us perhaps remind us of things we already know, figuratively. And to help us and encourage us to continue on doing what we know is right in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So I'm thankful for the invitation to be with you, and I just appreciate the time. And the truth from each of you who has either had us in your home or had us for a meal, time spent has been just very precious to me, and I appreciate it so very much. And I should not have been preaching better anywhere than we are in Sister Diane's preaching. If they would let me, I would like to have them as physical brother and sister. I told that to somebody else one time, and he said, don't go too far. But they have been treating me extremely well, and I've had time to run the house, and it's just been tremendously a blessing for me, and I appreciate it so very much. The story of the Bible is such that redemption of man from sin is really the key of the Bible story. From Genesis 1, the creation of man, the explanation out of it in Genesis 2, and then God gave Adam and Eve free will to exercise, but he told them they could eat of every tree, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they could not eat, lest they die. And in Genesis 3, they were tempted, and Eve forbade the fruit, gave to her husband, he ate, their eyes were open, they understood what they had done. And so then we have curses placed on Adam and Eve, the ground, the serpent. And also we have the very first veil of reference to Jesus in Genesis 3:15. When God told the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. The rest of the Bible story, at least in the Old Testament, involves the bringing in of Jesus as the seed of woman, who through his death, burial, and subsequent resurrection, would crush the head of the serpent. He would overcome the power of the devil and allow us to overcome the power of sin and the grave, and allow us to be raised eternally with God. That, in a nutshell, is the story of the Bible. And while that's a story for all of us, everyone who accepted the grace of Christ that we find in the gospel comes with a different kind of baggage. We all have lived different lives, we've been different places, we have different sins we've committed, but there are some common denominators with all of us. The life of a Christian is the life of a person who mirrors others who have done the same thing, though we've come from different backgrounds. And what I'd like to do tonight is look at the life of a Christian as the life of one who has a number of things in common with others. For instance, in the first place, the life of a Christian is the life of one who learns he is a sinner and that God has a remedy. And the remedy is Jesus and the salvation he promises in the gospel. We live in a culture where there are so many people who don't realize that because they don't know who God is, and they don't know what the gospel teaches. But if we understand from Genesis 1, 2, and 3 that God is, that he created us, and gave us free will, but when we violate his will, his word, through our sin, then there are consequences that come, and there's the guilt of sin that has to be remedied. And he made all of that, he thought about all of that before we were born. He thought about all of that before Adam was created. And that's the part of the eternal purpose of God. That he has it all figured out. I'm going to create people in my image and after my likeness. And I want them to do right, and I'm going to give them free will to do wrong. And yet I'm going to make a safety net, so to speak. A remedy that they can, though they go away from me, they can come back. And the life of a Christian is a life of misunderstanding. The Bible teaches in Matthew 5, we quote it more than this last time. See, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus called attention to the fact that we're going to be kingdom citizens, saved eventually. We are going to have to try to be the kind of people to understand that we're sinners. We're poor in the spirit. That's the kind of people who can be saved. And we're warning over our sins. We're poor. And we're mean. And we're hungry and thirsty after doing what is right. And we know that mercy has been extended to us, and we're going to do that. Those are the first few beatitudes, the little meaning of them. In Romans, the seventh chapter, Paul describes one of the purposes of the law, and how we now in Christ are dead to the law. But he describes how death comes as a result of the law. Romans 7, beginning in verse 7. Paul says, what shall we say that is the law sin? God forbid, howbeit I have not known sin except through the law, for I have not known charity except the law that said, thou shalt not covet. But sin finding occasion lobbied me through the commandment all manner of coveting, for apart from the law, sin is dead. Now notice what he says in verse 9. I was alive, apart from the law, once. I take that to be before the law became a counter. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. When he became a counter, sin revived, and he died. He was alienated from God because of his sin. Paul understood that. And in the third chapter of the book of Romans, Paul shows the universality of sin, all of his sin. And yet, apart from the law, a righteousness of God has been made known and manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And this, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or an appeasement through faith in his blood. When I come to recognize that I'm a creation of God, and I'm saved, I violate God's will, and as such, I deserve death, but God has a remedy, and that's in Christ in the gospel. When I realize that, then that's the first step in becoming a Christian. We're going to have a sermon song tonight, and go along with this idea of the life of a Christian. I'd like for you to turn with me to 493. I'll have all the songs marked, so if you want to turn right along with us, we'll be happy to do so. Let's just take the first stanza on number 493. Oh, what a wonderful day. Fourth stanza, and gave the courthouse until after the fourth ceremony, 1 through 4, and then the fourth.
Paul talked about how we have been certain about sin, but
We have faith in the heart, that form of doctrine, wisdom, and religion, and being then made free from sin, we became servants of righteousness. And when we do that, it's a matter of the will of God, in the Word of God, of acting in us, moving us to do His will. Last passage I have here on the chart, Paul was thankful that the Thessalonians had received the word that they had preached, not simply as the word of men, or merely as the word of men, but as it is indeed the word of God. And then he says in verse 13, if it is in truth the word of God, which also works in you that believe. God works in us through His word. And the more we read it, the more we try to pattern our lives after the life of Jesus, that God working in us through His Word. And so that's what has to happen when we become a Christian. If we want to go to heaven with God eternally, we first need to understand we're sinners, and yet God has provided a remedy in Christ. And then we humbly submit our will to His and obey the gospel, rise to walk in a different kind of life, newness of life. We have some songs that correspond and reflect these ideas. Number 487, when we actually are baptized, we become a new creature. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, the same thing in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. Let's think just the first and second chapter. Well, what son is there who his father chasteneth not? But if you're without casing, where you have all the major dangers, then are you illegitimate or vaccinated and not something? Furthermore, we have followed the right direction to change in us. We need them rested. Shall we not let rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits to live? For they will be for a few days changed in us as being good to them, which is our physical body. But he, that is God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. When we, just pause for just a second, when we're starting to realize the difficulty of time, and we don't let that overtake us, when we see the difficulties of the trials for what they are, and the Lord will not allow anything to overcome, overtake me that I can't withstand, 1 Kings 10:13. But I'll overcome it, then I'm stronger. I'm stronger when I get past it than I was before. And so Paul says, just like fathers chase and make we're trained for our good, he, God, for our profit, that through this, the more difficulties we come that come our way, that we overcome, help us to grow and partake of his holiness. We will become more like Jesus Christ. Our case seems for brethren do not enjoy us. But readers, we all know that. This will come our way. That's not happy time. Yet, absolutely, you are peaceable food, and the them that have been exercised thereby, even the food of righteousness. While it's unpleasant at the time, the end result is good. So, Paul says, wherefore, let up the hands that hang down and the paws of these, make straight paths for your feet, that that which you blame do not turn out of the way, but rather be evil. So there's great encouragement that's given when we happen, we're trying to grow, we become a Christian. There's great encouragement. We just keep going on, difficulties coming our way, and we just let it happen, we're going to be a little stronger after. The same thing is stated pretty much in a little different way in James 1st chapter. He says, turn about joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials, that the proving of this faith, the testing of this faith, what is patience or steadfastness, and patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Perfect, complete, entire, all the parts. I thought, I wonder what the word seems to be that I've already seen myself. He knows that needs to be perfected. That needs to be matured. That needs, and not really complete. I need to undergo something else and allow something else to happen to get me to be a little bit more dependent upon him. So these things come, and the end result is not for us to give up on God, but actually to become stronger and to save his holiness. The song, Faith is Victory, is really about, it's basically song in 576. It's about giving. When you finish communion in the book of Genesis, and here you have the complete overwhelming numbers. God said there's too many. God says if you need to take your life and your own strength, and so shell them down, and went down to the river of Hawaii, and they all, just a couple hundred, against several thousand of the Midianites. And that's really what this song is about. But in Hebrews 11, by faith is mentioned again. Time shall fail you, what is the kingdom, they were sounds of Jesus and the prophets and so on. This is your faith, so you can. Wrong righteousness. This is your faith. Just because God is with me, and I know the end is going to turn out exactly right, I can do whatever is necessary. That's the kind of faith each of us should have when difficulties come. Let's bring all three standards, omitting the course again until after the third standard. And pass along my little and wise Christmas all in my heart. And when I come back to the world of life, down there on the glowing dark, God says, my soul is melting off, all my church is out. And there's a Christmas in the dark, that all the time of the world, you find the world of the right. We can't the world, the
As long as we're continuing, we don't know everything, obviously, to start with.
you know, no one can catch it through their lives because of opportunity, not for a lifetime. So we're learning. And the more we learn, the more we can assimilate. We just put it all together, the more we see how things fit. And the more how we see things fit, the deeper our faith becomes. And we're growing. The more we grow, the more we see how God and why God has done various things and how God did various things, then that increases as the roots of a tree spread out and make that tree strong. Then our faith grows stronger and our desire to endure becomes that much dearer too. But all kinds of passages that deal with growth, we have just a few minutes here. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5, Peter said, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Keep you patient that the Lord is grace, unto whom come the living stone, rejected indeed of men, but God is that great. You also as living stones are building up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. To build up our holy house as we put away these sins and grow in our knowledge of God's Word. And then the page is so over in 2 Peter, we grow in those moral qualities that Peter described. We add to our faith virtue, that's courage, and to virtue, knowledge, and self-control, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. Peter says that these are yours and bound, that they cannot be idle nor unfruitful, but under the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he doesn't like these things. He's not growing as he should. He that lacks these things is blind. Can I see a fall and it's forgot the curtain from his master? And so it's a type of a growth. And in the Colossians passage that he has, in Colossians 2, he uses that figure that I described just a moment ago as pruning and then built up. That's what we have. Notice the passage. And therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, root him, and build it up in him. Two figures of speech. Rooted is downward and then built up like a building. Two different figures, but here's our foundation, as it were, our rooting, and then we're built up, we're growing in him as we have a stable base on which to build our lives. So we grow in knowledge, and that produces more faith and the desire to endure. There are the songs that we sing along these lines, number 537. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus as we turn the pages of his word, book stand, 22, number 537. Desire of on the week road, or something else. Almost daily, I suppose, I come across an idea of scripture that I've not thought about before. In fact, relates something to another scripture that I've not thought about before. And I wonder to myself, why didn't I see that earlier? Why didn't I see that earlier? Well, just know. And the longer we study, the more we see in something, change something from before. That we might have been in error on something, or living in him all our life. That's not the case. But he did deeply, and I say that much more in God's point. Number 112, the first and fourth stanzas only. First and fourth only.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. The Lord is my
to others are your cousin. You are a slaughter.
And then the chorus after the third stanza, please.
we sing a number of songs that even describe the transition from this mortality, this mortal life, and the immortal life, to the Trinity, third form. Describes in such beautiful language that I like an hourglass to sustain and run through as our lives. The sands of Palestine, the dawn of heaven bridge. Some have worn out sight for the very least more in ways. And in the first sense, the key, this is a picture. This is not that one would be like a single word. The key there in his beauty without a veil to see. All it were well fit done. So seven years later, so though our difficulties are as complete as it is, just terrible going on and on, it were a well fit done. The Lamb is all for his air army, thus on Mount Zion stand, and glory, 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 in Emmanuel's glory. Such a beautiful, beautiful song. The next song, 235, describes how it's laying down this mortal and book, checking on immortality. We'll sing that as a medley, well, 234, first and third stanzas only. And then, let's just sing the first and last stanza instead of all three, 235. It's all first and third, and then the first and third is number 235.
We all get to the Lord. You are doing it in 347. That's the same thing.